we're going to invite Isabel up. There's no rush, don't worry. Have we got something for her to put a book on? The good news is that the plane wasn't delayed from Canada, because then you might be a little bit weary. Just come from Europe, so it's only a couple of hours, but even so, she's literally come straight from the airport. Thank you so much for fetching her. Why don't you stand and welcome Isabel to us? Father, we want to thank you for Isabel. We thank you for a life lived in intimacy and oneness with you. We thank you for a life and a marriage. We thank you for Ivan. And we thank you for the whole family that she comes from. We thank you for the church that's released her to be here this weekend. And we just ask that everyone who is sacrificed for Isabel to be here, including Isabel herself, would be so blessed for every moment that she spends giving out in this place, that they would reap a harvest in London, Ontario, and in the family there. And that Ivan especially would just be so blessed. Speak through her. Speak to her. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello. It's very good to be here. It's been a while. No, Wembley. Yes, I don't... Yes. So it's good to be here. Very good. Yes, we finished the second conference in Holland at 12:30 last night. Got 2 hours sleep because I had to pack. And too many shoes to pack. And then get ready early. Because the older you get, the longer it takes to get ready. And I'm a grandmother now, so you see. And then I've been trying to get here since 7 in the morning. And the flight is only 1 hour and 20 minutes. I know. It's wonderful getting here. Will you guys stand with me? You have your phone. Can you record? Whoa. Thank you. Yes. When I looked at you, I heard the Lord saying, He has called you to be a David in the land, but also to release a new impartation of the David's anointing back into the kingdom. For just like David walked in the land as a worshiper, as a servant, as a warrior, as a protector, as a trainer, as a leader, as a king, as a ruler, as a son, and as a friend of God, a man of integrity, that even though he had opportunities to be crooked, he chose integrity, and he honored those who didn't deserve to be honored. The Lord is releasing that anointing and mantle over the house you are building and over your own lives, but also over that house. For the anointing and the mantle David carried is being granted to your ministry. It is going to expand, and you're going to see a lot of unrighteousness be dealt with. For even though God is a God of mercy and kindness, and he's a God of love, there's going to be some kind of, I don't want to use the word violent power, but that kind of thing that's going to come, and it's going to be a radical anointing that's going to move. I heard the Lord saying, son and daughter, I'm going to give you the ability to reach some foreign lands. But the ministry is going to expand, and I saw you, you know, reaching Russia. I saw you reaching some very hard places in the land. And I heard the Lord saying, brother, you are a revivalist. And the revivalist is going to arise in a mighty way. For you are a man of harvest. And it is time for the harvest to be released in the land. The Lord is increasing within you a passion that cannot be contained. But I also heard the Lord saying, there's a creative anointing within you that's going to be released. That's going to cause a lot of transformation to happen for the things that have been in one way are going to be turned around and upside down. God is going to use you to make the circles square and the square into circles. He's going to use you to bring the unusual and make it work where everybody is going to tell you that will not work. Everybody around will say he is crazy, but the Lord has called you to be in places of adventure. The two of you are going to see a great feeling of joy coming into your life. See, I heard the Lord saying, he's bringing you into a time when your own personal harvest is going to arise, where there is some joy that is owed to you from a long time ago. And the Lord is erasing disappointments in a great way in your life. And there's going to be all of a sudden, the word disappointment, letter by letter, began to be erased. And all of a sudden, it's this process, and suddenly there's going to be this transformation. For I heard the Lord saying, dear, you are a birdie that is going to fly very high. And the wings will not fit the size of the birdie. They're going to be so much bigger that many will say, why would that tiny birdie have such big wings? You see, but the wings are for the thermals, not for the birdie. And it needs those wings to catch those big thermals. Dear, you are a mighty leader, but like Deborah, you carry victory within you. And the Lord is releasing and empowering for victory in your life. You will challenge a lot of things. Traditions and structures are going to stand in front of you many times to hold you back. And the structures are going to try to put you in boxes. For I saw some boxes. People are going to try and fit around you. I heard the Lord saying, dear, kick the boxes apart, for they are made out of cardboard. Just cardboard, and they will fall apart very, very easily. The Lord is bringing a great release over your children. For your children are going to be visited by the Lord, for the angels of God are going to minister to them. They carry a worship anointing within them, and there is going to be a release of a visionary anointing in their lives. They will come from with news for you. They will tell you the answers that many cannot give to you. Your children will speak the words of wisdom that you need to hear in a time of need. God will use them as a compass many times to point a direction where you would need to turn and you need to go. But I heard the Lord saying, in all these things and the things that are yet to come, many new pages are being added to your book. Many new pages are being added to your journey. And the Lord says, he's enlarging, but he is going to allow you to participate in the writing of these pages. Where some pages he wrote beforehand in ink, the enemy had written some in pencil, and some people wrote some things in pencil. Those are being redone, for the Lord wrote with ink for you. But the Lord is saying he is going to make you participate in some of the writing of the new pages that he is bringing. For there is in that season of creativity God is bringing, you are going to participate. And the Lord is saying, bring me your ideas. I want to hear. Bring me your ideas. I have time to listen, and I will consider the ideas that you will bring to me. Bless you. Well, I thought I would have time to get some notes this morning, but that didn't happen. But our father, 30 years ago, started teaching me. I was young and I was listening. And so one of the things he said to us when he was raising us was, if you become the message, you will always be ready. And so we have lived a life like that, because there's nothing worse than to borrow the message. But when you become the message with Jesus, and you are ready, it just springs forth. I'm going to start with a couple of little stories. When I was young and I met Jesus, I prayed two prayers that at the time I didn't know exactly. Thank you. Coffee. Yes. At the time, I didn't know what it all would mean, but I felt it in my spirit and it arose within me. And my first prayer was that I said to the Father, I know that throughout life I'm going to ask you many things because I know myself. I ask. And you will hear from me a lot. But if you ever find yourself in the place that you can only pick one thing to answer, if that ever came, if that were to be the case, please pick this one. I know this is probably the most expensive thing I will ever ask. And I know there's going to be a high price tag to that, to this. But if you are so kind as to grant it to me, I am willing to pay the price, whatever it costs. And I said, if that prayer is, what I beg you to grant to me is that when the time comes and my last day on this planet comes, whether you come for all of us or you just come for me alone, when that happens, I want to look back at my life and have no regrets. I don't want to live with regrets. I can't imagine what it would be like on that day to look back and say, if only I had chosen, if only I had listened, if only I had believed, if only I had participated, if only I had taken the risk. You know, if only I had been more childlike and not so grown up or so smart, that I overanalyzed everything and chose reason over faith. And I said to him, I want on that day to look back without regret and look forward with excitement. To be able to come and say, even though I made many mistakes in the areas where I could choose, we did it. We did it. And I want to look in his eyes and see and hear him say, my dreams have been fulfilled. I want him to say, my desires have been satisfied. Even if my personal ones have not been, I want his to be fulfilled. The Lord has been very kind and has sent me the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has worked very hard. And but he so far has done it. And it has been worth it. Because to live a life with no regrets, there are a few things I have learned, and I will share them with you today. Today, who knows when, I'll share them with you. I don't have a plan, so, but it will come. But I will share them with you. But I have seen the faithfulness of God, because I realized he wants us to live that way more than we want to live it. And he will do anything if we are willing. My second desire, it wasn't so much a prayer as a desire, was when I first got the Bible. I had never seen the Bible in my life. I had heard some of these stories, but very watered down. And I got a Bible, and I began to read it, and the thing became alive in front of me. I can't explain it to you, but it was alive. I had never seen anything so alive. I got so very, very excited, because I thought, my goodness, look at this God. Like, come on, this God is incredible. Look at the things he does. Why didn't anybody tell me this before? Because the things I heard before were quite boring. But the things about God, they were very boring. But the things I began to read in that book were not boring at all. He's so adventurous. And I thought, my goodness, listen to Lord. And I was reading the Bible to God, you know, telling him, have you read this? Imagine, look at this. You did this thing. Let me tell you what you did. You know, because I had no one else to share with him, you know, at the time. And I got very excited. So I made a decision, a very important one. And I decided that one day when I get to heaven, and they're hugging the Father and the kisses and the welcomes, the hellos and everything, the next thing I would do is, see, I'm not interested in a house in heaven. I'm happy to park outside, you know, where the Father sits. I don't need a house or a mansion, you know. I can rent it out. But I really don't want one. I just want to be wherever he is, and I'm happy there. You know, but I want to go. And I thought I would get a really big cup of coffee, because in heaven it has to be limitless. And so I would get a really, really big cup of coffee, and I would make my rounds to heaven. That would be so much fun, to have coffee with everybody. And make my rounds to heaven, and I thought, you know, I've read the whole Bible a couple of times from cover to cover just to be ready. If I dropped dead anywhere, you know, I wanted to be ready because I want to meet everybody in heaven, of course, and I wanted to tell everybody, read your book, read your book, read your book, read your book, you know. So you got to read the whole Bible, 66 books in there, and I'm sure I'm going to meet them all, you know. It's really sad to meet James and said, never got to your book, you know. So I thought that would be nice. So I wanted to go and meet with Abraham and tell Abraham, you know, thank you for the book. Read it. Wonderful. You know, Moses, well, actually it was Moses who wrote the book, you know, but those books. But, you know, and tell them, you know, I read it. It was awesome. You taught me, your life taught me a lot. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. But now, tell me the rest of the story. What happened when you went through this? What do you feel? Was it like this? Tell me everything. See, you see, I figured something out. I know. It is very obvious men wrote the Bible. If women had written the Bible, it would be this thick. Because we would pay attention to all the detail. And Moses was wearing this color of shirt. The shoes were like this. The weather was like this. The mountain, Abraham's mountain, looked like this and had this many little trees. And there were this kind of bird just flying around. You would know everything if women had written the Bible. You know, but men wrote it, so we have to go find out the rest of the story. So I thought, you know, go and test. Abraham, ask Moses, tell me, Moses, what was it like? Tell me everything. And then everyone down the line, you know, everybody, tell me the rest of the story. How was it like? Walk me through it. You know, we have a friend in Washington, Seattle, who has a ring on his right hand, so big for a man, so big. He cannot close his fingers. He looks around like this. Leah, I'm not exaggerating. The thing is huge. And when I met him, we were having dinner, and all I could do was follow the finger. Like, come on. No, I finally said to him, tell me about that ring. You can tell me about those other amazing things later. Tell me about the ring. What turned out is a Super Bowl ring. He played with the Jets when they won the Super Bowl. I know nothing about the sport. It's really sad. But I know the Super Bowl thingy is very special. So I had never known anybody who lived through anything like it. So I said to him, okay, now stop everything. Walk me through the day. That day. Walk me through it. I want to walk with you from the moment you woke up in the morning till the moment you went to bed. Walk with me. Walk me through it. What did you talk when you met with the coach? What did the other players do? What do you guys talk about in the locker room? Hey, Ben, good to see you. Oh, wow. Good to see you. And, you know, walk me through all these things and tell me what was it like. I want to live it through you. He did. It was exciting. It was so amazing to hear it from him because he lived it. That by the time he finished, I was this close to becoming a fan to the game. You know, it was that incredible, and that means a lot for me. I don't like sports. And so, anyway, so I figured I would do that with all those guys. Go find out, tell me the rest of the story from the person who lived it. And then I continued reading the Bible. And I figured something amazing. I realized something incredible. The Bible is meant to be lived, not meant to just be read. And I thought, my goodness, this is a roadmap. This is a lifestyle. This book is a lifestyle. It's meant to be lived, not just to be known in your head. It's to be lived. And I got really excited that I can live the Bible today. So I changed my plan. And I decided I'm still going to have coffee with everybody. But I'm no longer going to go and be impressed by their stories only and say, wow, wouldn't that be amazing? They have walked like that, lived like that, know God like that. I decided, no, that's not good enough for me. I want to live a life. Then when I go to have coffee with Moses and Abraham, I'm going to swap stories with them. And they're going to, hey, honey, good to see you. And I want them to be excited that I'm coming for coffee. I want them to tell each other she's coming for coffee because she's going to tell us what God did on earth after we left. She's going to tell us what he did after we left. You see? And the Lord took that seriously. And that has taken me through a life that has been very, very interesting. A life that has never been boring. A life that has been extremely eventful. Because living the Bible is incredibly eventful. It takes everything in us to live it. But it is incredible to live the Bible. And I began to experience the God of the Bible. And I began to meet the God of the Bible. And I began to walk and live the Bible. And it began to shape up in a way that if I died now, I can have coffee with them and swap stories of equal caliber with Moses and Abraham. I can look at Moses and say, okay, Moses, tell me what was it like for you when you met the great I Am. He showed up, he parted the waters, and all these things were happening. Did you experience this, this, and this? Because when I met him in Sao Paulo, Brazil, it was like this for me. When I was in the same kind of sort of situation like you were, and only he, the great I Am, could move. And he showed up. Let me tell you, he's going to be impressed when he hears my story. Not because it's me, because I didn't do anything. I was freaking out first, you know. And then the Holy Spirit kind of gently, you know, threw water on my face and said, come on, get it together. Let's work here. You are not alone. You see, but he's done it. And he's doing it every single day. Let me tell you, the first one I went to have coffee with is Lazarus. Come on. Lazarus. I want him to tell me, what was it like when he called you back into a stinking body? The body was stinking. Can you imagine coming back to that? What was it like when it happened? You had to jump out. The way out, you know. I can hear that from the, I went inside the scope, you know, when they sent inside the scope. But the thing is, I can also look him in the eye and say, what was it like for you when he called you back from the dead to come back? Did you, was it like this and this for you? Because this is how it was for me. You see, Lazarus was raised from the dead once. I have been raised from the dead twice. I believe in the Bible, people. I can't live it all. Dead and raised from the dead. Yes, twice. I know. The good news is I didn't come back to a stinking body. Yikes. I'm so grateful for that. But you see, living the Bible is the beginning of it all, because the Word of God has it all. If we want to live the Bible, God will move on your behalf and in your life, and He will position you. But He will position you in situations that are going to require the God of the Bible to move. He will put you in situations that you are going to freak out sometimes. You see, when we talk about miracles, supernatural things, signs and wonders, it gets very exciting, and it is. But for a miracle to happen, there has to be a need for one. They're not like fireworks. You know, they're not like fireworks. There has to be a reason on earth. You know, Scripture says in Psalm 110, verse 3, the psalmist said, and your people will gladly volunteer in the day of your power. Volunteer in the day of your power. We want to see supernatural things, and we want to live them. But are you willing to volunteer for the day of His power? To be part of what He will take for those things. You see, for the miracles to happen, for the power of God to come, for the thunder and the lightning to come down, for the multiplication of food, you have to give everything you have to have food multiplied. Like, you have to. You cannot, right? I know. We just had it in our house too, recently. And you know, I'm dealing with, you know, our interns. I'm sure yours. Do you know putting this in the internet, are you? Okay, good, because I don't want... Okay, if you don't cut this part. I'm sure your interns are more... I'd be nicer than ours. They don't like to eat leftovers. Our interns don't like to eat leftovers, go figure. And you know what the biggest problem is? They multiply. They don't want to eat them. Thinking, what's wrong with you? You know, that ball of chicken has been going for a week and a half, I know. But it's still in the fridge. Don't cook anything else until the chicken is gone. They don't like that. You know, it's really funny. So I had to make a rule. No cooking fresh things and the leftovers are gone. Because God multiplies them. So now they are trying to cook enough that they wash the pots and pans and there's nothing left at the end. So nothing multiplies. It's the funniest thing ever to see our kids. They're so funny. You know, God provides. We eat. And I provide. It's the funniest thing. And they keep looking at me saying, you know, there's only so much chicken a person can eat. Yeah, but there's only so much manna they could eat, but they still ate it. You see? But we have to be willing to participate in the day of the power of the Lord. To be able to tell a story of being raised from the dead, you actually have to die. To tell a story about legs growing, somebody has to lose them. To tell a story about the blind regaining a sight, somebody has to lose their sight. And that's the part that we usually don't like, to participate. The church has become, hello, hi. The church has become at large, and this is all over the world, has become very complacent when it comes to the power of God. We want it easy and quick. And we want to see it, but we want the power of God. And there is that, you know, like you were saying, get excited about the hamburgers, you know, and we take a lot of things for granted in the kingdom. And the first thing we need to change, if we want to actually see the power of God on earth, we have to change our mindset. If the mindset doesn't change, it isn't going to happen. Even though God can do it and wants to do it every single day in our lives. I believe that the return of our Lord is close. And the closer it gets to that day, the atmosphere is becoming aware of it, is getting charged, is being prepared for his return. Because of that, a hunger for his power is increasing on earth. A hunger for the supernatural is increasing in the hearts of people, believers and unbelievers alike. The world is wanting to see supernatural, to see power, to see the real thing. There is a hunger for it. And it is an amazing time to be alive because we get to participate in this. We get to participate in this. It's very exciting. Because Jesus said, if you don't believe because of what you hear, believe because of what you see. I truly believe we are in the days of seeing. Because the church and the world has heard, they have heard everything. Now they need to see. They need to see the reality of Jesus in you and me. The reality of the kingdom in you and me. The reality of everything. That not that they have heard, but now their eyes need to see. And it is up to us. Because God has invited us to participate. The Lord very kindly left us a prototype to follow. He's so good. And he left us a prototype. He prepared and set the pioneers. And we have it in the book of Acts. The church of the book of Acts was a kingdom church, a supernatural church. They were as supernatural as it gets. The church of Acts had it every day, not once in a while. It was a lifestyle. It was normal. It was a lifestyle. They had the signs and wonders. They had the visitations. They had the power. They had the angels. They had the resurrections. They had creative power. They had revival. They had growth. They had everything. The church of the book of Acts. And the Lord told me, I'm raising that again in those who want to participate. Because the manifestation of Jesus in the book of Acts was greater than any other church has ever seen since then. And the Lord we are in the time where he's offering it to us. And we all get to be that again. We get to live it. We get to do it because he said to the disciples that we will see greater things than they did. How exciting is that? See, that's more exciting than watching television. And the church of the book of Acts lived the fullness of it. And there was a few things that a lot of things we can learn from them, really. But a few things, some keys. There are many more. I know there are many more, but some I found. You know, and the main thing the church of the book of Acts had that released that caused that to happen, that they lived it. It wasn't just talk. It wasn't just knowledge. They lived it. It was as experiential as it gets. And one of the main thing they had was not one. Hi, Agnieszka. Good to see you, honey. Not one of them had, not one of the 12 disciples had a ministry of their own at all. They didn't have their own ministries. But they all shared in the ministry of Jesus. The ministry of the church of the book of Acts was the ministry of Jesus. It was Jesus and the power of his resurrection. The supernatural in the kingdom is the power of his resurrection, moving in us, active in our lives. The power of his resurrection goes beyond just getting us saved. And the ministry of them was the ministry of Jesus. They all were focused on making Jesus known and the power of his resurrection. So they didn't have the territorial spirit, the jealousy, the competition. You know, they didn't have greed or ambition. Because there was enough of Jesus for everybody. And it was the same for everybody. He shared equally. And they shared equally. They were all focused on building the ministry of Jesus, expanding it, furthering, making him known. It was the ministry of Jesus. And I know that same ministry is being restored in the church today. And if we want to participate in the ministry of Jesus, forget your ministry, the ministry of Jesus, you will also enter into the same river and the same flow that the church of the book of Acts had. And you will see the same things in your daily lives. And we need to start becoming more aware of the choices that we make. You see, the disciples were all focused on Jesus. But this is what I like about them, the church of the book of Acts. No one was focused on what he did and what he gave them, No one was focused on the power, the gifts, the anointings, the things. They were focused on him, not in his things. Throughout the years, we have learned to seek his hand and not more than his face. The church of the book of Acts, they sought his face, not his hand. They wanted him. It was him they pursued. It was him they wanted. They weren't into it for what are you going to give me. If I get this anointing, if I get this ministry, if I get that glory, if I get that power, then this is going to be amazing. See, I'm not very spiritual, and that's one of the big problems you get with me. You see, because spiritual people are so different, my goodness, God bless them. You know, but it's so much, it looks like so much hard work. But, you know, I was in a conference 2-3 weeks ago, who knows when. And we're in a different place every week. So anyway, we were somewhere. And then this man came to, you know, encourage me about a teaching I had just given. And he said, you know, the Lord has been speaking. And we get these prophecies that the glory train is coming. Have you seen the glory train? I just started laughing. It was so sad for me. I started laughing. I had to apologize later. Thinking, the glory train? What in the world is the glory train? I said, we're waiting for the glory train. And it's red like your shoes. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, you wait for the glory train because I get the glory walking with me. And I don't think Jesus is red, but maybe, I don't know. Maybe he wears red, you know. But I'm thinking, really? You're looking for the glory train? Waiting for the glory? We're preparing for the glory train? How about just the Baptist didn't come to prepare the way for the glory train? He came to prepare the way for Jesus. See, that's why I shouldn't be in the internet. I'll offend everybody. And then people, I found out people are putting us on, they told me I'm on YouTube. Can you believe that? I didn't know that. And these people came and said to me, I just heard you on YouTube. I heard you were coming to here and I didn't know who you were. So I went and I listened to all your messages you have there. I said, what message? And I'm not anywhere there. Oh, yes. They said, I didn't know. Imagine. I can only imagine the things that people are hearing because, you know, I just say things. And so, anyway, the glory train. We get into all these different tangents when it is actually very simple. We've got Jesus. And we need to go back to the foundations. We need to go back to the reality. We have to go back. Right now, it's urgent for the church to go back to building with a cornerstone. Because many people are building without the cornerstone. Churches, ministries, lives, marriages, a lot of things are being built in the name of God without a cornerstone. We need to go back to build and to be the builders that don't reject the cornerstone. And that we build with the blocks that fit the cornerstone. Because without that foundation, the Lord is not going to release the glory train. Without a foundation, God's not going to release His power and His might. What would we do if He does? If we're not building with a cornerstone and with the stones that fit the cornerstone. See, melting builders still today in the kingdom reject the cornerstone. They want to build with they want His anointing to build with. They want His power to build with. They want His gifts to build with. But not so much the person of Jesus, the cornerstone. Because when you build with a cornerstone, you have to make sure every single stone that you use for the rest of the foundation has to fit the cornerstone. I don't know anything about building, not even Legos. I can't even do Lego. But people who build tell me. I know people who know things, so I sound smart because I know people who know things. And so they tell me that when you build with a cornerstone, you have to make sure every single stone, even if it is on the other side, far, far away, it still has to fit the cornerstone. Because if you use a stone that doesn't quite fit the original, the cornerstone, it will pop up eventually. It will be faulty. It won't settle. It will cause the foundation to become uneven, and then what you build on it will start becoming uneven and it will start cracking, and then you will have a big problem later and everything may collapse. You see, or fixing it will be very complicated. But if you are mindful of building everything with a cornerstone and every stone fits the cornerstone, it will never waver. It will be solid, it will be strong, it will be permanent, and whatever you build on it will stand through all, will have longevity, and will stand, and will be good, and nothing will bring it down. But many people also reject the blocks, the building blocks that fit the cornerstone. We like to use ours. I've done it. We like to use ours, the ones we think will work. But when we build with a cornerstone, you don't get to pick what you like. You get to pick what fits the cornerstone. You see, and when we want to see the manifestation in the fullness of Jesus in our lives, and through all of us, because we all qualify, we're sons and daughters. As children of God, we all qualify. No one is disqualified, if you want it. But for that, we have to invest in the foundation. That the cornerstone, that is the main thing. So, you know, it is not many people like, and I know I didn't like, it took me a long time to actually become so mindful of the changing the stones and checking the foundation and making sure that, you know, being willing to change them. Because the stones that fit the cornerstone, you know, humility, love, kindness, service, generosity, forgiveness, sacrifice, obedience, honor, integrity, truth, prayer, you know, worship, and all those qualities, and they keep on going and going and going and going. Kindness, you know, those ones are not easy to choose. But when we see the real thing, when a strong foundation is laid, like the church of the book of Acts had, God could build. For if the Lord doesn't build a house, in vain labor those who build it. For him to build a house, you have to lay the foundation. Then he builds the house. But the foundation, we have to do it. So, and the building that he builds is supernatural because he is supernatural. And he invites us into that. And that's when we see the great things. But we have, he has to have where to rest, where to be, where to land, where to flow from. You know, fellowship with each other. And you know, many people don't like that when this, in this day and age, it's becoming a fad not to go to church, not to congregate. That is the foundational cornerstone that fits the cornerstone. And yet, people want to be used by God and see the power, the signs, and the wonders. But the foundation is faulty. See, there are many details like that that are so important. Because the realm of miracles and power reflect on him more than they reflect on you at the end of the day. How it's used, the stewardship, the managing of it is very important. It's important to be good managers of it. You know, so in 2 Peter 1:16, Peter said, "For we did not come to you making up clever stories about him, but we were there with him when the majestic glory of God descended from heaven upon him, and the voice of God said, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' We heard it ourselves, for we were with him in that holy mountain." So we were eyewitnesses. We saw it and ourselves we heard it, he said. When descended, we were there. We saw it ourselves. And this is one of the most important things that we need to get back into. You know, being witnesses for Jesus. You know, the disciples were witnesses for Jesus. The disciples, they only said when they heard him say, they only did what they saw him do. They repeated, they knew it. In 1 John said, in 1 John, the epistle, chapter 1, John said, I believe it's verses 1 to 3, you know, but in there he says, "For we only talk about the things we heard him say and saw him do ourselves." And this is one of the first things for signs, wonders, and miracles and supernatural things. What have you seen him do? What have you heard him say yourself? Not secondhand, you. When we hear what stories of others, like the hamburgers, it inspires us. It encourages us. And it shows us that he can do it with us. If he does it with them, he can do it with us. Right? Wait till I tell our interns that burgers multiply. They'll be so happy. They'll like that better than the chicken. And, but, you see, it encourages us. But we must not stop there. It is very easy to tell secondhand miracles, secondhand stories. It's very easy to say, let me tell you one, you know, the stories of Heidi Baker. I think she's awesome. I love her. Her stories inspire me tremendously. And I want to hear them. But here's the thing. I'd rather hear them from her than from someone telling them secondhand. Because when she tells the stories, there's impartation of faith and a stirring in the heart. And the atmosphere is stirred. You see, because she lives it. She's the message. She doesn't just tell it. You see, that is where the supernatural gets released and imparted. Being willing to live it. But being willing to live it by being willing to walk so close with Jesus that you can hear him sneeze. You know, that you make sure you walk that close, that you watch everything, you see everything that he does and how he does it. And then there's impartation. The impartation that comes from him is greater than any impartation that comes from his people. And that impartation only comes by saying, I was there when it happened. I saw him do it. Yes, I prayed for someone to get healed, but he healed them. I saw him do it. He did it. You participated, but he did it. I was there when he did it. You see, being able to live as a witness for Jesus, that's where the miracles come from. Because the impartation that comes to you when you see him do it, and the level of faith that increases in you when you see him do it, no one can take it from you. You saw him. You were there. I can assure you, those guys are going with burgers again. They saw him do it. And they're entering now into the limitless realm of the kingdom. You see, now they're stepping into anything can happen for real, but they are tasting it. You see, being willing to be witnesses. What is Jesus doing today in your neighborhood? What is he doing in your own backyard? What is Jesus doing today? And join him. Participate. Wanting to be there? No, I want to see what you do. I'll stalk you. I told him that. I'm going to be a stalker. Because I want to know everything you do. I want to see you do all kinds of things because I hear you're amazing. I love to hear the stories because I find out I can have more things. I can have more of Jesus every time somebody tells me a story. I can have more. My territory enlarges. My box gets bigger. Now more can fit in because, you know, here's the thing. If he did it for them, he can do it for me. He has no favorites. Do you know he has no favorites? He doesn't. I tried it. It didn't work. You see? So, he can do it. So we tell stories, not to brag, not to look anointed, not for you to say, wow. No, we tell stories to provoke you for more, for you, for yourselves. This is what he can do if you are willing to walk on the waters. He can do it. Being a witness for Jesus and the power of his resurrection. In Acts chapter 1:21, they were in Acts chapter 1, they were trying to replace Judas. You remember? He killed himself. So they had to fill the gap. So in verse 21, they said, the person that we choose to join us must be someone who was there with Jesus From the moment he was baptized to the moment he was taken to the sky, to the heavens, he ascended to heaven. Such a person will join us as a witness for his resurrection. Many people got saved through the ministry of Jesus. But the ones that will share into the anointing that the Church of Acts carried, the anointing that God was releasing for that day of the miracles, of the revival, of the glory, of the power that was going to be released through that church, had to be someone who was a witness of Jesus firsthand. Someone who saw everything and therefore could testify about the ministry of Jesus and the power of his resurrection. That's one of the things we lack a lot today. It's unfortunate, but it is. But we can change it very easily if you want it. Because he wants to do it. He wants to move. He wants to do it. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm a wimp sometimes. And you know, if you are there sometimes and you're at the doctor's office and the secretary has a toothache, you know, I go through this internal debate. Should I pray for her? Should I say something? You deal with intimidation, with fear, with all kinds of things. What if it isn't God's will? What if it isn't the timing? You start finding excuses to get out of it, you know, and see, you know, to do it or not to do it, to do it or not to do it. Should I? Does God want me to? I need a sign. I need three confirmations and a fleece to fall from the sky, you know. And many times we don't do it. Or if we do it, it's so in a wimpy way. Because, you know, we don't want to look embarrassed. What if nothing happens? Then you look bad, you know, because you make it about me. But if you have been anywhere where somebody had a tooth healed or a toothache healed and you see Jesus do it, and then you are at a doctor's office and there is the secretary with a toothache, in the doctor's office, you know. And the aspirin obviously is not working, you know. And so you can come as a witness for Jesus, as a witness of the power of his resurrection, and tell her, oh, I'm so sorry. See, you're struggling with that. I know toothaches are so bad. You know, let me tell you what happened to me one day. You know, I was in such and such a place, and there was somebody with pain, and nothing was working. And we prayed, and Jesus healed her. It was so exciting. Jesus healed her. You provoked them because it's something you lived. And now, the heart gets stirred. And then you say, how about we pray for you, for him to heal you too? But you tell them, I saw it. Or you tell them, you know, I'm sorry you are dealing with this backache. I know it's really hard. It's really bad. I know I had backache and it was so bad. And nothing was working. I was in chiropractors and everything. And then somebody prayed for me at church. And I got healed. I can bend down. Look at me. You see, a witness for Jesus and the power of his resurrection. Now, how about I pray for you too? But you have shifted the atmosphere already because you have witnessed for Jesus and the power of his resurrection. For you have seen him do it. Bye, guys. Love you. We'll see you in 2 years, I think. Yeah. And you see, it is very easy. We can all do it. You don't need to be Benny Hinn. We can all do it. What have you seen Jesus do? Go around telling people what he's done, what you've seen him do. And when the opportunity comes that somebody needs it, somebody doesn't have money, and they're struggling financially, have you ever seen him provide? Yes, you have seen him provide. Tell your story. Tell the story of what he did. How did he provided? And let me tell you, faith is imparted. And hearts are open because people need it and they want it. You see, they want it. We can participate today in the power of Jesus and his resurrection. Scripture says, and we know this, in Matthew 6:33. In verse 25, Jesus was talking about the problems of life and the cares of life. But in verse 33, he said to the people, relax, don't worry, stop everything. You know, stop the train and listen. I know. I'm still stuck in the glory train. I'm going to need inner healing for that. But I have a great imagination sometimes, so I just saw this little angel that could. Yes, I had to shoot you. I don't know. Anyway, I think it's because I haven't slept in too many hours. But Jesus said in verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be added unto you. Seek first the kingdom of God. Everything else in that scripture, starting in verse 25, in Matthew 6:25, Jesus was talking about provision and the cares of life. But when he made that statement in verse 33, he said, everything else, everything will be added to you, everything, everything. So because he said everything, I take it as everything. That means signs, wonders, miracles, power, blessing, provision, anointing, glory, everything will be added unto you, added unto you. The problem is we have learned from the world and our earthly upbringing to seek after the add-ons. We spend lots of time pressing in and seeking after the glory or the power or the healing or the provision and seeking after them and pursuing them and pressing in for them. But that's not what the Bible says. We need to follow the instructions. The Bible says they will be added unto us. Added on. And the requirement for that is seek first the kingdom. It's easy. Seek first the kingdom. That's all you have to do. You do that and the second part will come to pass. For sure, guaranteed. It will come to pass. Now we know from scripture, Jesus called himself the kingdom. He said to the disciples, behold, the kingdom of heaven is here. It's at hand. Here, because he had come. He was referring to himself. So, if Jesus is the kingdom, so you seek, we have to seek Jesus with everything. Forget about everything else. Seek Jesus with everything in you. Above all things, the New Living Translation says, make the kingdom your primary concern. The most important thing, Jesus. Refocus and reshift. We need to find the plumb line again. You know, somebody stole it a long time ago. But we need to get back to the plumb line and put it in front of us. The plumb line is the Spirit and the Word. And, you know, seek first Jesus. Forget about everything else. It will be added unto you. That brings rest and peace, not a striving. When you're seeking after the miracles, after the supernatural as a thing or as an experience, you enter into striving, which is opposite to the kingdom. But when you do it the Bible way, seek Jesus, it's a guarantee they will chase you. They will follow. They'll be added unto you. And you did nothing for it to happen, so you cannot take credit for it. It's so cool. And somebody says, how do you do it? Sometimes people, other speakers, you know, come and say, how do you do that? Because we want to see that happening. We heard how God moved in this place, or what happened here, and, you know, we have been having, I'll tell you later in this week. We'll talk a bit more. Chill. And when we see, you know, some of the things we are seeing, because we are now seeing Jesus showing up himself in meetings, not just in the spirit thing. People are physically seeing him in meetings. That's so amazing. To me, that's it. That's where we reach the glory train. That's it. I mean, that's it. The angel with all the cards. No. And Jesus shows up. In one country we were in, at least last year, the people reported, see, signs and wonders are not for us, they're for the people, so we don't get to see anything. I don't know if there are reruns in heaven, but we don't get to see anything. But we get to see when God does it through others, so that's the good thing. You know, we don't get to see anything. But in this one country where we were, as we were speaking, suddenly people started screaming and crying and everything. Because they said Jesus stepped in front of us physically and continued teaching for, you know. And they were crying and saying, it wasn't a vision. We saw him with our physical eyes. I saw him too. And I thought, I wish I would have been sitting there. I would have liked to have seen him too. You know. But, you know, anyway, sometimes people ask, what do you do? What do you do? For, you know, so that we can do it too and the same thing happens to us. I couldn't reproduce it if you paid me. I seek Jesus. He does it. It follows. They're added on. It's added on. And that's so much fun. It's so exciting. It does it. You see, scripture says signs and wonders will follow us, will follow those who believe. Those who believe in Jesus will follow those who believe in Jesus and the power of his resurrection. So we need to change directions. Instead of chasing that, we need to turn out. Do you have the cartoon of the road runner? Yeah. You see, you know, instead of, right, sometimes the coyote is chasing the roadrunner and then you see it reverse and the roadrunner is going the other way. We had to change direction. Stop chasing the signs and wonders. Let them chase you. Let them chase you by pursuing Jesus. Make Jesus your primary concern. Nothing else matters. Just Jesus and the power of his resurrection. I promise you, as a guarantee, your stories will start happening quickly. Because he wants, he's waiting for us to get rid of all the kinds of other things that entertain us. And just want him. And him alone. You know, signs and wonders. Power and miracles, yes, supernatural things, visitations, angels, all those things are great and available. But why do you want them? What's the motivation of the heart? Why do you want them? And when the motivation is for Jesus to be known and the power of his resurrection, there is nothing that won't happen at all. Because we are in the days when, like I said at the beginning, the world needs to see. They have heard. The church needs to see. They have heard. They need to see the real Jesus stepping up. Stepping out of you and through you and me, the real thing, in whichever way it's necessary at the moment. But the real Jesus, I have seen, as I, through the years, there are many things that gifts, as amazing as they are, they cannot do because they're limited. Anointings are limited. There are many things that the things he gives us are limited. And that is where we need the more is Jesus. Only he can do. We can only go so far with a gift. But then Jesus can do the rest. And that's when we get to see that power. We were... let me summarize something. Because I just saw the story in front of my eyes. We were invited last year to go minister in a church in a country here in Europe. And in case it goes to the internet, I'm not going to say the name of the country. Somebody may put it on YouTube. I had been with Jesus in that country before. You know, I get transported. I'll tell you about that later. But, you know, get transported. It's in the Bible. Get transported in the body physically. I disappeared from where I was and appeared in this other country with Jesus. And the funny thing is when I actually went by airplane and they say to me, have you ever been here before? I'm like, I don't know what to answer. Because I have, you know, I don't know how they're going to react. You know, just say, there is no record in immigration, but yes, I've been here before. Yes, I've been here before. You know, and then either they kick me out or they let me stay. I don't know what is going to happen after that. But, you know, I have to be honest. How can I say I haven't been here before if I have been here? I've been there. I've been to Kenya. We'll tell you later. And I've been to Kenya. But immigration doesn't know I was there. It was illegal for a few hours, for a while. You know. So anyway, I got transported to that country with Jesus. And we were teaching. We taught for quite a while. And so anyway, then we got transported back. And Ivan said to me, where were you? I've been searching all over for you. I said, oh, I wasn't. We're in Europe, you know. Jesus and I just went to Europe, just got back. You know. And Ivan said, yeah, send the Bible. Good for you. So anyway, when we came back, Jesus said to me, now you and I are going to come back the traditional way, the earthly way, you know, by airplane. You and I are going to come to this country again in the future. So, but just you and me, Ivan will not be coming with us. The next time we come again, it'll be just you and me. And I said, okay. Well, he said, many invitations are going to come to you for that country, from that country, but don't accept them until I tell you which is the one I want. So time passed, a few years passed, and then an invitation came last year. And Jesus, from that country, Jesus said to me, that's the one we have been waiting for. This is where we are going. So, you know, we had to rearrange schedules and kinds of things to make it happen, because when he wants to go, we go. And so I said to Ivan, you know, honey, yeah, I showed him the email. I said, look, this, you know, and this invitation, I didn't know how to tell him that he wasn't invited. That was the hardest thing. Jesus said he's not invited. And we usually, you know, 90% of the time we travel together, you know. So I just let him see the email. And then he said, I'm not going. I know it. It's just you and Jesus go together. I'm not going. Oh, thank you, Jesus, you know. I didn't have to tell him. Oh, how do you tell your husband he's not invited? When you share ministry together, you know. So awkward. But Jesus took care of it. He said, I will go the next time, but not now. So, anyway, Jesus and I went. And Jesus was so excited, like, we're going. You know, we've been waiting for this moment. And so, as we were going, just before, the day before, so I get an email from the people who organized the event saying, we're so excited. The leaders of the church have decided to host the conference in the building. I thought, oh, that's nice. I thought that was the plan all along. Like, really? We're going to be under a tree somewhere? And this is not Africa. And so I'm thinking, well, good, this is good news, I guess. But okay, sure, lovely. And so as we are on our way to the first meeting, they give me the news. They say, well, you know, our church belongs to a particular denomination who is 350% against women in ministry. Yes. And I know, I'm so familiar with that organization. I know, it's serious. Like, it's, I think it's written in the tablets somewhere. They had it in the tablets, you know. Women shall not minister, you know. And immediately I felt this intimidation inside me. I thought, I can't do this. And I said to Jesus, did you know this? Did you know? Like, come on. Were you reading emails too? Or did you actually knew without emails? Because the emails didn't have too much communication, really. And I said, well, I hope you have a really good plan here, because, you know, I said, I don't like this. I just need you to know, I don't like this situation. You're putting me in a very difficult situation. I don't like it. That doesn't mean I won't do it. I said, but I don't like this. I said, because, you know. Like, you know. And I said, but this is what I will do. I promise you. I guarantee you, I will do the work you have called me to do with the tool you have given me. I'm a trainer and an equipper. I will impart, you know, and I will share my life. It's very likely I may get a week off in this country after the first meeting, you know, but that's fine. You will enjoy this place. I said, but this is my promise to you. This is what I promise you. I will do my participation. I am going to focus on you having a good time. I promise not to give you a headache. I promise not to nag you and complain. I'm going to make sure that you enjoy yourself because you wanted to come. So let's make it about you. You wanted to be here. You said to come. You want to be here. So my gift to you, I will be nice to you while we are here. And I will make sure you're happy. If you are happy, it doesn't matter what I go through here. It'll be fine. Then they said to me, it is very likely that there will only be 10 people. Just no more than 10 people coming, attending. This is not, don't expect a crowd. See, you say those things before in an email? You know? I mean, the 10 people, I don't care. We have flown across the world to minister in a church of 5. We will do it again and again. That's not a problem. You know, but it was the other part. And so they said, so it's very likely it's going to be like that because, you know, you are a woman. Yeah, you knew that when you invited me. You know, you still did. And they said, so maybe 10 people, and that will be the end of it. So don't be discouraged. I'm on the way to the first meeting. Like, that's not how you prepare the atmosphere for the first meeting. And so anyway, I just took a deep breath and I said, you know, I have to choose peace, joy, and righteousness. Kingdom of God come. On earth as it is in heaven. Choose peace, joy, and righteousness. So I stepped into peace, joy, and righteousness. And making sure Jesus enjoys himself. See? It's about him. Not about that. It's about Jesus. That's all that matters. So, we arrived. The church was packed. People were sitting in the staircases. People who had left the church had come. I think they were curious because of a woman coming. And I never seen a phenomenon like that. And then, but before we got to the door of the building, we stepped on the sidewalk. The most amazing spirit of pride came to meet me. pride and arrogance, just a spirit. And I usually don't care about the spirits in the atmosphere, you know, it's not, I don't have time for them. But, you know, I don't dance around them, they have to dance around me. And so, but they were like, I couldn't avoid it. They just came to meet me, and they were like, and I felt like they were going to squash me like a bug. I could feel the shoe coming on my head, and they were looking down on me like a bug, you know. And I looked at them, you know, and I just said, oh, I know, you look big, but look who comes with me. I got Jesus here. I'm coming with Jesus. So, deal with him. Don't bother me. I have enough to deal with. They don't like me here. No, you deal with Jesus. And so, I just made that demon listen to the Bible in California. It was so funny. I'll finish this song in a moment. We were in California, and then doing a conference in a place where they have lots of bad things happening, and they're rehabilitating drug addicts and prostitutes and all witches and all kinds of things, and it's full of witchcraft and demonic stuff and all of that. So anyway, and there we were, you know, and we were disturbing the atmosphere. And so, anyway, Jesus and me were there for that one. You know, usually when Ivan is around, it's a bit easy. They don't bug me too much. You know, but anyway. And so it was in the atmosphere, but I don't pay attention, so I don't care. So, but one night, we came from the session. We had been ministering, you know. It was about, you know, 1:30 in the morning when we came back. So, you know, I was tired. And spiritual people usually listen to soaking or something to relax again, you know. When about 2 in the morning, this demon shows up, bigger than a house. He just walked into the bedroom as if he owned the place. Can you believe it? Just marched in. And he filled and just... And I was getting tired by them, like actually winding down to go to sleep. And I'm looking at, oh, brother, this hour. Like, really, you picked this hour to show up? I'm going to sleep now. Anyway, showed up. And he's standing there between the bed and me. And so I turned the other way to watch TV, the computer, you know. I wasn't going to miss my comedy because he showed up. And so I finished watching the comedy as this demon was standing there. And then I just, you know, I prayed, and then I'm going to sleep. Like, you're not going to take my time or my attention. That's not going to happen. Like, it does belong to Jesus. And I said, so I turned the other way to go to sleep. But the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you actually need to do something because it's coming to kill you. It's coming with an assignment to, it's waiting for you to fall asleep to suffocate you tonight. So then I have to sit up again. I was already ready to go to sleep. So, okay. Then I sat up.